In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and we're so glad you could join us for our journey through the book of Exodus. At our last time together, we just wrapped up Exodus chapter 14, and I love reading the last two verses of this chapter. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. This is an incredible victory, and it's all of the Lord. Now, what would you do if you have been enslaved for 400 years and God comes along and delivers you with his great power and might and defeats the enemies of those who have killed your brothers and sisters, who have thrown your babies into the Nile? You would be celebrating. And keep in mind, before God delivered them, he had to part the waters of the Red Sea, which was a miraculous event in itself. So the whole climax of all this is incredible. All these events and all the power the Lord displayed to show Israel that he is their God and he will protect them. And that brings us to Exodus chapter 15. This is an amazing chapter because it shows us what our response should be over our greater deliverance. Remember, they've been delivered from slavery, but we, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by his blood have been delivered from the greatest enemy, sin and death. And so Moses is going to sing a song. He's going to break out in a song. And then we're going to see the ladies sing the chorus. It's absolutely stunning. But this song is amazing in what it reveals about who God is and what he does for his people. Now, this is the first recorded song of praise in the Bible. And the focus of the song is on the Lord and his works. It says he triumphed gloriously. In fact, let's just read the first verse. Exodus 15:1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Now, as I said, this phrase, triumph gloriously, it's the same word actually repeated twice in the Hebrew, which adds intensity and completeness. It literally means God exalted himself over his enemies completely, thoroughly. The song reveals how God vanquishes his enemies. And the word thrown is a very powerful word. It means to cast to certain destruction. And it's contrasted, triumphed gloriously versus thrown into the sea. Do you see that big separation? That which is high and lifted up, and that which is cast down and forgotten. And this is a great picture of our future deliverance when we will be exalted through the resurrection through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. According to Proverbs 24:17, which I'll read in a moment, one is not to rejoice when an enemy falls. So how does this song avoid this condemnation? Let me read Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Now, this is a really important insight. There is a significant and vast difference between you judging and the Lord judging. See, while the enemy is still alive, there is possible hope for redemption. That's why Christ on the Sermon on the Mount commands us to love our enemies. This is why in Exodus later, when we get to chapter 23, we are to do just things for enemies. We are to act justly towards them because God is just towards us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us, right? But when God delivers the final judgment, when his final verdict has been rendered, we then can appropriately celebrate, and here's the key, God's justice and vindication. Do you see the key here is two factors, time and who's sovereign? When it comes to time, you and I on this earth don't know how it's all going to end, who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. So since we don't know, we must be faithful ambassadors, proclaiming the gospel, calling all to repentance and faith. But if someone rejects God, apostatizes, and they reject God fully and completely, and God judges them in this life for it, then we can celebrate that because they, in the end, remain an enemy of God. But God's the one who's got to declare that their end is here. God has to declare they rejected. God has to declare they were the enemy. Then we can be on the side with God where we celebrate his victory over his enemies. And that's the key. It's his enemies, though they may be now enemies of the gospel. Let's remember, ultimately, it's got to be God who makes this decision. This is really important. So here's a question in light of all this. How do you love your enemy? How do you celebrate the Lord's deliverance in your life over those maybe who are opposed to you? Do you see, as Moses sings this song, the connection between deliverance and thankfulness? And as we learn more about the contents of this song, we're going to see the connection even stronger. Those who've been truly delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, having all their sins forgiven by him through his death on the cross, burial, and resurrection, they are the thankful ones. So are you thankful? Do you remind yourself of how grateful? I mean, are you grateful? And do you show your gratitude towards the Lord himself for the salvation he has given to you? I think Ephesians 5:15 is a great reminder for each of us. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This describes the life that we live right now, the time in which we live. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I think Colossians 3:14 is another parallel thought, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So do you see the connection, whether it's making melody, singing spiritual songs? We do this because of our redemption. We do this because we're thankful and we have much to be thankful over. This is how we show God our gratitude. So when you go to church on Sunday, regardless of the style and form of your song, are you singing with a grateful heart? Listen to those lyrics. Do they exalt God? Do they remind you of his great deliverance? And do you in your heart say, thank you, Lord, for the great deliverance? That's what's going on right here in the book of Exodus with Moses and the people of Israel. They are bursting out in song, and Moses leads the congregation in this amazing song. See, if we pursue the flesh and its temporal joys, gratitude will turn to ingratitude because the flesh can never be satisfied, and its object is self, lust and pride, 1 John 2:16. But if our affections turn to God, who is eternal in spirit, there are no bounds to our satisfaction because he is infinite, and we're worshiping him in spirit and truth. Now let's continue through this amazing song. This next section describes God as the deliverer, and it's worship God the deliverer. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength, which means refuge, protection, and my song. And that word song in the Hebrew means strength, which is exactly who he is. And he has become my salvation, that is, my help and my deliverer. He is my God, and I will praise him, which means I will glorify him. My father's God, calling back to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. and I will exalt him, lift him up. In other words, see him high above and exalted. Now, parallelism is key to interpreting this song. Like most poetry in the Bible, parallelism helps us see what is in alignment, what's connected, and it can really explain the passage more. So really, this is kind of neat. If you take strength, it's plus song, it's equal to salvation. And my God plus praise is parallel to my Father's God and exalted or lifted up. And that's equal to my God is the same as my Father's God, and he is to be praised and exalted. That's how we're to understand this. Let me just repeat that because I think it's a lot of information. Strength and song equal salvation. And my God is the same as my Father's God, and he is to be praised and exalted. That's what's in parallel here. So when you see these lyrics put together, look at the text. See what's in parallel so you can make these connections for yourself. The application is really simple. Worship God, the great deliverer. Now we come to the next part of the song, verses 3-8, and I've kind of titled this section, Fear. God is a man of war. This is something that we just don't teach enough. Let me read verses 3-8 to get ourselves focused on these truths. The Lord is a man of war. And that word war means battle, hand-to-hand combat. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in greatness, which means abundance of your excellence, which is another word for majesty, you have overthrown, and that word means literally annihilate. You have annihilated those who rose against you. You sent forth, this is to describe dispatching with no restraint, your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap, and the depths congealed, which means they became rigid. They stalled in the heart of the sea. Now, if your picture of God is all love, this picture here in Exodus does not compute, does it? But this is who our God is. Yes, God is a God of love, but God is a God of war. God is a God of justice and a God of wrath. And if you don't understand this truth, then you don't have a complete view of God. In fact, I would argue that if you're struggling with sin right now in your life, it's probably because you only think of God as a God of love. But if you see him as a father who will chasten you, or if you're an unbeliever listening and you see only God as love and you don't fear his wrath, then your understanding of God is hindering you from coming to the real God and responding rightly to him. So let's understand that God is a God of war and that he is able to win your battles if you're on his side seeking help. But if you're not saved, let's recognize you are his enemy. The good news is you can repent, place your faith in Jesus Christ, and then there'll be no condemnation. You will be moved from God's wrath to God's blessing. Thanks for joining us, and may you remain in God's Word to grow to be faithful to Him.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.